Morning.
Morning.
Pleasure to be back. If
thank you.
If you thought that today would be a crash course on laziness, I'm afraid, I'm sorry to disappoint you. In fact, it's virtually the reverse. Although I was hard pressed to find a title, it's masterly inactivity. Perhaps it will become apparent what that means. As we gear up for Pesach, both physically and in Ruchnius, Pesach, of course, is also described in the context of Sfiras HaOmer as being Shabbos, Mimochlas HaShabbos. Yesterday we read about Shabbos. Next week we'll mention about Shabbos. I'd like to highlight an aspect of Shabbos that perhaps isn't often appreciated. If we think about Shabbos, Shabbos is the primary ritual in a religion, in Yiddishkeit, where a preoccupation with the minutiae of observance is so prominent. Shabbos is the only pure, if one can say such a thing, the pure Ben Adam Lamokin that makes it into the top ten in the Afeir Hadibras. So Shabbos is then held up as a litmus test, as the barometer of somebody that is considered to be frum, for want of a better word, somebody that is a practicing Yid. It's always been Shmiras Shabbos. It's always been a litmus test. But if we begin to analyze it, it's perhaps a little bit enigmatic. It's not as simple as it sounds. Occasionally in my work, I am called upon as a salesman to sell Shabbos. And on what basis does one sell Shabbos? It's a marketing exercise. On what basis does one sell Shabbos? If you analyze it, virtually all the positive images that we have of Shabbos are not midiraisa. What do you think of when you think of Shabbos, or when you're trying to sell Shabbos? What is Shabbos? We think of not going to work, a day that you can cut off, a day that you can interact with family, interact with the Rabbeinu Shleilam, candles, kiddush wine, nice food, challahs, oinig Shabbos, covered Shabbos, everything with Rabbanan. With the right, you can go to work. Zero to ksiva. Mechachomemkin, zero to kesev. Shabbos, challahs, kiddush, you can be dvarim. Famous to Rikki Vega, the Shabbos. Okay, Mr. Brewer doesn't like it, but Kiddush Bidvarim, and when we daven Friday night, we have to have, ideally we should have Kavanah not to be yotzei to the mitzvah of Kiddush, but then when we do it on the Yayin, that's then our kiyum of the mitzvah of Kiddush. So what then is Shabbos? Midiraisa. We're looking at it through biblical spectacles, so to speak. Midiraisa. What is Shabbos? What seems to come out, if you think about it, is it comes out is an institution that is incredibly top-heavy on the negative. There are 39 ways of being Mechalal Shabbos Midiraisa. And in terms of what you have to do positively, your positive input on Shabbos Midiraisa, Zochretim Shabbos L'Katshoi, Zechira Ba'alma B'dvarim, Zochreyu Zechira Shvach B'Kiddush. Just mention Shabbos in a positive light, and that's it. That's Shabbos. What does this mean? Why is it thus? The Gemara in Chulin that discusses the status of somebody who is a mumen chalal Shabbos b'fahesia, who desecrates Shabbos publicly, as being equated with somebody that is—it's a tantamount to a rejection of the entire Torah. Says Rashi, there's a surprising Rashi. Says Rashi, Hamachalal Shabbos is Tafei Omadal at the bottom Rashi. Hamachalal Shabbos, Kofer B'Ma'asov, somebody that desecrates Shabbos, denies the Ribbono Shel Olam's actions, Umeid Sheker, and he testifies falsely, Shaloshavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis, that the Ribbono Shel Olam did not rest in Maisa Bereishis. Says Rav Huna, what do you see from this Rashi? We know that Shabbos it features a number of times in the Torah, we'll talk about it in a second, the emphasis is placed on different aspects, in different points, different parts in the Torah. But if you ask somebody, why do we keep Shabbos? So let's go through them very quickly. What do we see in the first set of Aseret HaDibros? The emphasis is on Briyat Shemayim Vaaretz, which, as the Maharal says, that's mitzvah the Zocher, the positive aspect. That's mitzvah the Noisin. That's the understanding of the importance mitzvah the Ribono Shel Olam. Yesterday we read Lodat Achet Shabbosai Tishmeru Lodat Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, to know that I am Hashem that sanctifies you. And in the second set of Aseret HaDibros, it's the Shomer, and there the reason is given as Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashgacha. But the Meidei the Sheker, what's Rashi saying? Rashi's highlighting something else. Even if we take the first one, that the Rebbe Shlomo created the world, Yesh Me'ayin Ech Me'ilo, in 6 days, if I subscribe to the view, what's Rashi saying? If I subscribe to the view that the Rebbe Shlomo created the world in 6 days, but I don't go along with the Shabbat business, I may be the Sheker, shall we Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Ma'aseh Bereishis? Surely that's secondary. Surely the main point is that he created the world. What's the significance? And Rashi's highlighting here, there's a tremendous significance in Hashem's resting. What does it mean? One last question. We know that all the malachas of Shabbat are derived from that which was necessary, the primary activities that were necessary in the Melechus HaMishkan, in the construction of the Mishkan. And that forces the Gemara and Shabbos to raise a question. Because one of the Melechus is Ofer, is baking. After the Gemara, Omer HaPotah, Shabbat Tana Didon Bishul Samamonim Dehava B'Mishkan, V'Nokat Ofer. There was no baking in the preparation and the construction of the Mishkan. Afiyah didn't exist. There was no Afiyah. So why does the Mishnah, in counting out the 39 Avos Melachos, ignore Bishul, which essentially is the same idea? It's the idea of applying heat to chemically alter the properties of an item. That's what it means. Except that Bishul is with liquid and Afiyah is dry heat. Concept is the same. The Melacha is the same. But in counting it out, the Mishnah decides to chap onto, to highlight a Melacha which didn't exist in the construction of the Mishkan. There was no baking. Instead, we ignore Bishul, which was in the construction of the Mishkan, and we highlight instead Eifer. Why? Doesn't seem to make any sense. Answers the Gemara. Tana Didon, Sidura the Pasnoket. Our Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, felt that the Sidura of the Pas, the order of the 11 Malachas, including baking, that are necessary in the preparation of bread, that order somehow was of such central importance that it superseded the idea of where it came from. Because if we focus on where does it come from in the construction of the Mishkan, as I said, there was no Afiyah, there was no baking. But it seems it's so important to hang on to this concept of Sidura the Pas that it takes precedence over what actually transpired in terms of the construction of the Mishkan. What does this mean? Basorim Amoris Nivra Ha'olam, famous Mishnah. The world was created with 10 utterances. Idvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, with the word of Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam created by speaking. The Gemara says, Bereishis Nami Ma'amar Hu. Bereishis itself is the first Ma'amar. After the Mishnah famously, Ba'anoi B'Ma'amar Echad Yochel Lihiboroi, surely the Ribono Shel Olam could just as easily, V'Kol Yochel, he could just as easily have created with one Ma'amar. What is the significance of Hashem creating with 10 Ma'amaris? Answers the Mishnah, to provide reward for those righteous people who choose to uphold a world, to keep a world, maintain a world that was created with 10 ma'amores. And conversely, to give punishment to those Rishayim who choose to destroy a world through their action, a world that was constructed with 10 ma'amores. this kind of begs the question, what's the Mishnah really answered? If I could do a job in 1 hour and I choose to do it in 10 hours, I can't bill you for 10 hours. Doesn't make sense on the face of it. No? I'm sure we have universal agreement here. If I could do a job in 1 hour, and that would be the, I have that ability, and you come to me for a job and I do it in, and I choose to do it for 10, and I bill you for 10, it's unfair. What is the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah saying? It's a peddler. The way I understand the morale, from other sources as well, I think what it means is as follows. Each ma'amar is a degree of separation, a degree of concealment. Olam, as we know, is miloshen ne'elam. The world that we see, to some extent, is an arena, is an environment where Hashem's presence is not readily apparent. How not apparent is it? How many degrees of separation are there? With each, the answer is 10. With each new ma'amar, the Rabbeinu Shalom created a new concept, something new, which could, if not understood, it could be seen that we now have complexity. I don't have something that is a simple system. I have another strand, another force, another concept, something else to take, potentially, to take me away from the recognition of who it is that created initially. The word Elohim itself is plural. What does it mean? Ask the Ebenezer writes in the beginning of Bereishis and other Mefarshim. It is the recognition. Elohim means forces, powers, because there are apparently many powers in the world. Electricity, magnetism, gravity, lots of different concepts, lots of different forces. And the challenge is to recognize that there is a single Ribbono Shel behind it all. And therefore with each new ma'amar, there came into being another degree of complexity. Something else potentially to pull me away, some more avodah to be done. Physicists today, not that I know all that much about it, but what they're working on, their holy grail, so to speak, is the grand unified theory. Einstein started the process trying to get all the different forces, understanding that energy and light and matter are just different aspects of the same thing. I'm happy to stand corrected. Gravity is the only one at the moment that's not playing ball. But they're trying to work towards that. For us, of course, it makes sense. Because what we see physically is just the manifestation of what's happening internally. It's the house of Rabbeinu Shalom. Shakai she'amarti le'olam yidai. Says the Beis Halevi, what does that mean? And others, what does it mean? It means that the Rabbeinu Shalom started creating. And with each ma'amar, there is another potential, another concept, another degree of complexity, something else to take me away, potentially, from the realization and the recognition that the source of everything is the Rabbeinu Shalom. But after Asoro Ma'amorois, he said, die. This is a perfectly balanced, a delicately poised mechanism. Any more Ma'amorois, and it'll be a little bit too difficult. There'll be that extra degree of complexity. It'll be too hard to find me. Any less, it would be too easy. 10, just right. Just right. It's a perfect will. Shalmati lo'ilomi dai. I said to my world, just right. Just beautiful. Perfect. It's perfect. Just right. And the stage is set for man's avoida. To recognize and to realize who's behind these 10. What happened then? And he created Adam HaRishon, and he places Adam HaRishon inside this perfect world. And what did he tell him to do? What's Adam HaRishon's task? His task is masterly inactivity. He has one job. And that job is recognize and realize that the world that I've created is perfect and is actually not needing of you at all. All you have to do is resist the temptation to try and perfect my already perfect universe. You've got 6 hours. Reinhalten. You created midday and Friday. You've got 6 hours. Enter Shabbos, not having eaten from the Eitz Hadara. That's all you have to do. One negative commandment, nothing else. That's all you have to do is recognize that I've created a world that is just right. I don't actually need you. Recognize that it's perfect. That, says Rav Huna, that is the inner significance of Hashem's Shvisa. That's absolutely crucial. What does it mean Hashem rested? Just perfect. Cannot be improved upon. But man, Adam Arishan, without, not the time or place, telling what the chait was, Defna has a very famous essay on it. He made a cheshbon and he got involved. And I haven't seen this anywhere, but Libby Omerly, that with that, of course, he changed the altered creation itself. We all know the Nefesh HaChayim, there's now a Lirbuvia of Tov and Ra inside, the evil becomes internalized. And there is now an 11th degree of separation. Through his action, he has altered. He has failed to acknowledge that the world is just perfect. He's got involved. He ate from the Eitz Hadas, and now there is, that has created one more degree of separation between him and his creator. And as a result, both he and the world is cursed. What did he eat? According to one opinion, we all know the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's a das sha'odem ochal arishin chita oisa. A wheat tree. And we've never seen a wheat tree. Mirtz Hashem, the time will come when we will. Asida Eretz Yisrael shetetzi grus kois yofis v'chol yoyim, even though the Rambam doesn't learn it literally. But if we do take it literally, the time will come, says Reb Tzadok, chita then becomes a metaphor for the perfect, original, primordial, pristine state of the universe. Chito, when all was prepared, every other aspect of nature is prepackaged. It's there. It's no kunz. It's no chokhmah to take an orange seed and to put it in, let it drop into the ground, and with minimal tending, it will produce a tree which will produce oranges, which will produce a seed, which will produce a tree, and be aesthetic, and then to take it, and to say, Baruch atah Hashem elekeinu melech ha'olam v'yirei pri ha'etz, no big deal. Doesn't require an awful amount of avodah. You'd actually need to be pretty stupid to think otherwise. But once, and originally chita was like that as well. It grew in its finished product like every other part of nature in Gan Eden. Says the Rabbeinu Shlomo, though, however, you've created another degree of separation. You've changed, you've altered the whole terrain, the whole landscape, and now needs to be a whole new level of avodah. It will no longer be prepackaged. You're going to have to get involved. Until now, originally your tachlis was not to get involved, merely to recognize my supremacy, my sovereignty, my authority that I created. Now that you've got involved, it's now a klala. The klala is that you have to work. Why is that a klala? If we have to work for to pass an exam, for example, then we understand it might be a pain in the neck. But to characterize it as klala, as curse, because we see a causation. We see a link between the work that I put in and the salary that I get out. The work that I put in and the exam I get out at the end of the day. But what would be if I come into a terminal exam, get a degree, I've got my 50,000 word thesis, and I go up to and I hand it in to the examiner, and the examiner takes it and says, you know what, I'm in a good mood today, and he tears up my thesis and awards me the degree, then that work was a klala, because there was no, in retrospect, there was no direct, innate, causal link between the work that I put in and the degree that I got. That's why avodah v'zeh apechotech alechem is really a call. That's Bethel and others. Because be'emes, there is no direct link between what we put in and what we get out. Person's panos has decided on Rosh Hashanah, but there's a curse that comes with it. You've got to go to work. That's why it's a curse. And now what is our bechira? Now what is our state of avoida? Our state of avoida is to recognize that the landscape has changed. There is this 11th degree of separation, and it's more difficult. But to realize still that the etzem, the Rabbeinu Shalom, still runs the show. And I don't actually need you, says the Rabbeinu Shalom. My world is as perfect as it was, but there is another degree of concealment, another barrier you have to climb, another hurdle, another obstacle. And that is, you must get involved now, and yet recognize that the world is perfect, yet recognize that I am in charge. And that applies, surprisingly, not only, and that is what is represented by Chita. And the truth is, that applies not only in the world of physical endeavor, it applies absolutely to everything. That's the end. Chavis Albomus writes. And sometimes this comes as a bit of a surprise, but it shouldn't really, if we think about it. Chavis Albomus states that Bechira, true Bechira, actually only operates in one relatively small area. And that is, I am free. We're created with Tzelem Elokim. What does that mean, says the Nefesh HaChayim? It means we have the capacity in one area to be absolutely free, to be godlike, to choose. I can make choices. In the famous and beautiful opening words of Rabbi Shaul Salanter's Igeres HaMusa, Ha'odam Osur B'Muskalai V'Chofshi B'Dimyonai. We are bound by our intellect. In the world of the actual, in the Olam Ha'Asiya, oh boy, am I limited. In so many different spheres, in so many different ways. But there's one area where I'm absolutely free. That's in the Olam Ha'Dimyon. When I close my eyes, and I dream, and I strive, and I yearn, and I aspire, and I fantasize. I choose. That's who you really are. The Tzaddik HaKoyim says, it can be either a frightening thought, or it can be an encouraging thought. When it comes to the physical world, although HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz MiYiras Shamayim, and we think to ourselves, when it comes to Yiras Shamayim, I'm free. I can choose to do a mitzvah, I can choose to do an aveira, but do the following test. When was the last time that you had planned a day and it went exactly the way that you wanted it to go? How often does that happen? Get real. Doesn't work that way. Why? Because we're not in charge. When it comes to Asiya, when it comes to the action, the actualization of my plans, my dreams, whatever they are, the Rebbeinu Shlomo's in charge. There is only one area where I'm absolutely free, and there is no kafia whatsoever. And that is, what choices do I make? My bechira, literally, to choose. Says Reb Tzaddik in Machshavos Charut and in a few other places, if you really want to know who you are. You're the deepest expression of self is who do you really want to be. It could be in the world of, in the Olam HaAsiya, you can't be possibly the next Chazon Ish or the next Rav Moshe Feinstein or the next whoever it is. But what is your innermost dream, your innermost real striving, your aspiration? Because that's the only place that there's the real you. That's the only place you're absolutely free. The minute you come to actualization, the Rebbeinu Shalom either allows your plans to go ahead or frustrates them. You are not in charge. Even though you've got HaKovid Yishamayim Chutz Miyiras Shamayim. That then becomes the our tachlis and the task now. It's if one hasn't thought of it before in these terms, it's a difficult one to swallow. But that's the emes. That's the emes. And spend all day with Raya's. Maybe just one quick verse, a famous verse from the Defla. Just to recap, what have we said? It's harder now. There is this 11th degree of separation. I now have to get involved. I don't have a choice anymore. Tells me I must get involved, but even though I get involved, I must recognize and still realize that ultimately it's Hashem that decides what does and doesn't happen. Famous Medrash, "V'tzicha v'echa rabba arba melachim hayu." Chazal say there were four melachim. Mashe tov hazeh lo tov hazeh. They each demanded, they requested different things of the Ribbono Shel Olam. David, Otto, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiyahu. David asked on the Ribbono Shel Olam, Erdos Oivai Vaasigeim, Ribbono Shel Olam, please let me, give me the courage to chase my enemies and to reach them. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aniyota, he acceded to his request. And then we have Otto. Otto got up and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ani Ein B'Koyach La'Aroid. I can't kill my enemies. I don't have that clear. I'll tell you what. I'll raise it, Oysom, and V'ata Oysa. We'll do a geshef. I'll chase them, and you kill them. But Yishlem says, Ani Oysa, fine, I'll do that. Omed Yehoshaphat, Yehoshaphat got up and said, Ani Ein B'Koyach, Lo La'arig V'Lo Lirdoy. I can't kill them, I can't even chase them. Ani Oyma Shira, V'ata Oysa. I'll do Shira. I'll say Shira, and you do the rest. But Yishlem says, fine, I'll do that. Omed Chizkiyahu, V'Oma. Chizkiyah Melech, remember, Chizkiyah Melech, that the Gemara could have been Mashiach. I don't have koyach to chase, not to kill, not to chase. I don't even have koyach to say shira. Do you know what I'm going to do? All the enemies, sancherim, is ranged around me. You know what I'm going to do? Ani yoshin an mitosi. I'm going to bed. Good night. Ani yoshin an mitosi. The atoy said, "Boshem, you do the rest." Amalek and Baruch Hu. We all know the story. That's clear. Because they pay for. And says the Boshem, "Ani yoshin, I'll do it." So it says, Rav Dessler, who had the greatest level of bitachon? Simply speaking, we understand Chizkiyahu had the greatest level of bitachon. He didn't chase, he didn't kill, he didn't say shira. He went to bed and he slept. Nice tachais. He didn't toss and turn. He slept. He slept. He got the armies ranged around him. And anything short of a nes nigla and you're dead. Nothing short of a nes nigla. And chagut ayin geshlafen. Says Rav Dessler, of course, counterintuitive. It's the other way around. David HaMelech said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know that I have the koyach to get involved in the physical, to chase, to kill, and yet in my heart, truly to recognize and to realize that you created the world, you are Shavas, you rested on the seventh day, the world is perfect, it doesn't need me, you don't need my favors. And I can and I will, as a result of the klala, get involved, but ultimately I recognize that it is you that destroy. Who was the next one? Otto said, no, if I'm actually totally true and honest with myself, I know, Ein B'Koyach La'Harig, if I kill them, if I run the sword through them, I know in my heart of hearts I will attribute the success to myself, and therefore Ein B'Koyach, I don't have that spiritual strength, and therefore I cannot do that, I must desist. I can do X, but not Y. Chizkiyahu was the weakest of all. He knew that if he just sang Shira and there was an ache, he knew in his heart of hearts he would attribute the success to himself. He said, I can't do anything with Ben Shlomo. If I get involved in any way, I know, if I'm honest with myself, that I will attribute the success to myself. And it has to be you. That's Shabbos. That's Shabbos. Shabbos is the recognition, therefore, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, I have created a little island of time. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. The rest of the week, we're in great danger. Because there is that klala, we have to get involved. We've got to get involved. And the danger is, of course, that we then attribute whatever success that we have to the as a result, that there is a causal link, an innate link, between our efforts and our achievements. Says the Rabbeinu Shalom, once a week, recognize and realize that Shabbat that I rested. Of course I created, but that I rested, that the world is perfect. And we recognize that, says the Tanna, the concept, I think, the 11th degree of separation is the 11 malachas involved in the Siddur of the Path, culminating. That's why it's important that we supersede. We ignore Bishul, which was in the Mishkan, and instead we go with the malachas that are in the Siddurah, the path of which, of course, there are 11, culminating in Oysa. Because that's the challenge. The challenge during the week is to go through all the malachas of plowing and planting and reaping and harvesting and threshing and winnowing and yet recognize that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why Shabbos to create it, to make it? Few words. Hagut Shabbos. Zachreya Zachirat Shvach Bekiddush. The Rebbeinu Shlom has created this perfect world. It's not you. I don't need you. This perfect little oasis of time. The challenge is there's 39 ways that you can mess it up. 39 different ways that you can mess it up. Hashkocha. Understanding the Hashkocha. And of course, that was the lesson of Pesach as well. The famous words of the Ramban at the end of Parshas Boy, Shein Odom Chelik B'Toris Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Shanami, Shekom Nikreinu, Neis, Ein Behem Tema Shalom, Umen Homi Shalom Klau. Why was Pesach Shabbos? Because there it was clearly it was the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and he showed us so clearly how he toyed with nature, he suspended and transcended nature, and we saw clearly that he was the boss. Just finished with the Malbim. The Malbim says in the beginning of Vayera, we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Eloheinu Hashem Echad. There are three primary ideas there. Number one, Hashma Yisrael Hashem, that the Rabbeinu, the existence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that Eloheinu, that it is personal, that he wants, he's desirous of a relationship with us, that's Hashgacha, and Hashem Echad is Yichud Hashem, that there is no other, and therefore we find that the Tzach Hadash Ta'achav. And that's why we find these three statements as we go through the parashas of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We find Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem, Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. I'm intimately involved. I'm running the show. I don't need you. And then Kamoini B'Chol Haaretz, corresponding to Hashem Echad, there is no other. I'm the only and ultimate source of power. And yet, I want to add to the Malbim, when we say every day, what is the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim? We ignore the other two and we focus on the middle one. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yetzeisi Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why? What's the stated purpose? Lehiyos Lachem Le'elokim. To be your God. To recognize that I'm intimately involved with every aspect of creation down to the tiniest detail. That I'm Mashgiach B'Protius. Because that is the thing that will touch me most. And that is the message of Shabbos.
Yeah, dude.